Good to see y'all here in the sanctuary this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, "He Has Made Me Glad." I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Amen. Of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up sacrifices of joy, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my passion and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Amen. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Do it again. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Lips. I can't read. Watching it online, they're struggling. All right, those of you online, your volume really does work. It's all working. I just didn't have the mic on. So we're talking about AC, air conditioning. How many of you got your AC on at the home, at the house? All right, there's a few of you. Those of you that don't have your AC on. Oh my goodness. You don't have your AC on yet? Huh? Maddie turned it off. Oh, no. Oh, my. She wants it warm, huh? All right. Everybody have a good Easter? It's a good Easter? Amen, amen. I was talking to Sissy today, I felt like we were having a tennis match in here Sunday morning. Those two babies would get wound up, and you could just see the whole focus of the sanctuary would tune in right here. And then I would get louder and louder, and everybody kind of swing back to the pastor. And they'd step up a notch, and then you see everybody. Amen for babies, man. My goodness alive. But I was thinking in the midst of that, if I lose my train of thought, it's over. It's over, man. Because it was bringing back memories, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 a.m. feedings. I was having those flashbacks in the midst of trying to preach a message. I wanted to say, will somebody feed that back? But I think that's what they were trying to do, honestly. I think they were trying to get that baby fed. But anyway, it's a joy to have them all in. You never know what you're going to get on Easter Sunday. It's a joy to have them all together. Amen. It's a joy to have everybody together. And think about, you know, the first century church met where? The first century church met in homes. And so, same song, different verse. It's just, you know, it's been going on like that for forever and a day. So you just got to kind of roll with the punches and get on down the road with it. Amen? All right. Do we have any, before we get going here, you got some prayer needs back there on your on your computer there, Jeremiah? What do you got, sir? Okay. All right, just the one, okay? And then we got a prayer request for Marshall Murray. And he had that surgery today? Yeah. He had his second eye cataract surgery. So he'd already had the first one done. They're praying that, boy, those eyes are clear, right? After you go through that, praying for some good sight. Anybody here had that procedure done? Anybody have it done here? No? It's laser, isn't it? Don't they get it with the laser? Yeah, something like that. Okay. All right, so we want to pray for Brother Marshall Murray tonight with his second cataract eye surgery. Bicky Coon's not feeling well. What else? Yeah, it was good seeing them Sunday though, right? Did they give any updates Sunday to how they are? Amen. I saw on Facebook he was on some kind of a, I don't know if that was a lawnmower. I don't know if it was a lawnmower or a scooter, but he was on something. He had a grandkid, man. He had a grandkid, and he was going. This is just a still shot. It wasn't a video, but he looked like he was having a good time. All right, Fred and Ann Redmond, praying for their health. Yeah, amen. All right, what else? Harold, Brother Harold, pray for Brother Harold. The cataracts?
No.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay. So the prayer request is for to get the enlarged spleen. Okay. Enlarged spleen. All right. What else? Anything else? Yes. Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Dr. Tomlinson Rescue Hope, they're in Uganda. And they're calling it a micro hospital. Emergent care. Okay. Uganda, man. Wow. Geography, it's been a long time. So Uganda in Africa, south, in the middle. Uganda in the middle, okay. Uganda in the middle, don't forget that. Uganda in the middle, right? One of you school teachers should have told me that. Uganda's in the middle. Yeah. Yeah, hey, where's Uganda at? What? What are three countries that Uganda's next to? Huh? Oh, Kenya. She would know. Okay. Kenya, Sudan. All right. Very good. Now, Sudan, you don't want to go to. Yeah, you want to be out of Sudan. Okay. All right. Dr. Micah Tomlinson. Way to go, Brother Micah. Outstanding. Very good. All right. What else? Brother. Oh, gosh. Oh, my soul. And how old was he? Oh, my soul. Okay. So the Stamps family, okay, and the loss of his name, what's his name? John Stamps, D-O-N. John Stamps. And his funeral was Saturday. This coming Saturday. All right. Wow. My goodness. Where was this at? Canada. Oh, yeah. The question is, are we in the last days? Okay, so most people think we are. So, I mean, you know, just stick with the script. It's going to get hotter and hotter. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, we got to go through it. What you're praying for is that, you know, your and my theology is right and that we get raptured before it really gets going. That's what we're hoping for. We don't want to be mid-tribulation, and we certainly don't want to be post-tribulation. We want to be pre-trib, right? That's what we want to be. And, you know, I think the Scripture bears that out. But there are some groups that say, hey, you know, the church is going to go through 3.5 years of the worst of the persecution. And there are some folks that believe, you know, hey, the church is going to go all in all the way through it. So any way you cut it, slice it up, If we are in fact in the last days, a revival will come out of persecution. Maybe one last great revival will come out of persecution. So you can't stomp the church out. Cultures and the devil and the demonic have tried to do that since the dawn of time. You can't stomp the faith out, but you can certainly... You can, the battle of good and evil going on, right? Battle of good and evil, right? Yeah. Had a hand up back there, Brother John. Yeah. You talking in Canada. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, hey, let's be fair. You know, we think about Canada. We think about that. I mean, you know, if you think California squirrely, right? You think parts of California are squirrely? Yeah, you know, you got a really big squirrely place up there called Canada. I mean, it really is. When it comes to religion and faith and not a whole lot of it, and more atheism and agnosticism and mysticism and all that, Canada, wow. So, got some good bacon, right? Canadian bacon? Yeah. I don't want to get too alarmist. You guys that watch the Fox News, and I watch the Fox News, voted Republican last two. Well, I mean, since Reagan, voted Republican. So, but I don't want to get too alarmist here. Amen. But I get the deal. I think as long as the government you keep registering your guns. I think as long as the government knows how many firearms are out there, especially down here in the South. I mean, I'm telling you, I just have more faith in the resiliency and in the backbone of small churches. You know, I think you may see some large mega churches that turn tail and run or you know, fade or whatever, but I don't know. We're not here for a concert, right? I mean, we're not here for the slickest, bestest delivery of biblical truth. We're just here for the Bible, songs of the faith, fellowship with Christians. I mean, you know, it's, but hey, I hear you. We'll pray. Yeah, that was your son. I was thinking that was your son. Yeah. We heard that very same thing today. Uh-huh. Some good churches between here and Waller, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, they're sweet kids. Yeah, sweet cousins. All right, what else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah. Two weeks. Wow, can you do water therapy? No, you can't, can you? Yeah, you can't get in the water with that old cast on. My goodness. How long will you be in the cast? Oh, they're gonna give you a new cast every couple. Yeah, that's okay. All right, well, no water therapy for you then. Because that would be good to get in the... Yeah. Maybe they can... dip that thing in, I don't know. Let it cure up, Brother Paul. That old preservative. Dip it in there, let it cure up, and jump in the water. But then you'd have to cut it off after you got through right here. All right, amen, Miss Pat. We'll be praying for that. What else? Yes, ma'am. This is, they're going to remove the... remove growth from throat. And that is when? Next Thursday. All right. Remove growth from throat. And then get the blood clot, you said. Yeah. Okay, what else? Yes. You have a biopsy on Wednesday. I'm sorry? Amen. Very good, very good. What else? Praises, let's have them. Yes. Yes. Amen, brother. And you're done with radiation? And we'll go back for a PET scan. Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else? All right, let's pray. Yes. Yeah, Devant, we missed you for Easter, man. Where were you in DM? Did y'all have family? Oh, okay. All right. So you went to, you down there, were you at Baylor? Oh, okay. Now, when was the, days are running together, when was the championship game? Was that? That was Monday night. So did y'all get out of there before that happened? Oh, good for you. Good for you, man. I bet that town went nuts after that championship game, man. Golly. Not to get off the subject, but Baylor Bears, eat them up Bears, man. That used to be Baylor Baptist back in the day. I mean, way back in the day. That was Baptist University. But anyway, that team that they assembled, I don't know what those guys are, juniors or seniors or sophomores, that looked like a high school team playing a junior high team. And Gonzaga's a good team. They undefeated. Them Baylor Bears just looked like they were hit. Wow. They've won one. I think it's 50-something years since they've been in the Final Four. And then the first time they've ever won the championship. Good for them. Good for Texas. Good for Waco. Maybe they still have a live bear on campus. I hope they gave him an extra big steak. All right. Well, let's pray it up. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we thank you for the blessings of life, Lord, and we thank you for the blessings of church. And Father God, we are living in perilous times. Lord, a lot of liberal agendas around us, other parts of the world, other countries to our north, Canada, Lord, things going crazy down at the border, all kinds of people needing help and hurting and Lord, just the church is going to be stretched, and the church is going to be pushed, and the church is going to be squeezed like she's never been stretched, pushed, or squeezed in a long, long time. And Father God, as we just begin tonight, I just pray that the church would stand and be counted. Lord, that she would be found to have a backbone. And she would be resolute. I pray for all the churches across this land, Lord. Churches where men of God stand up each and every Sunday and they seek to be faithful to preach the Bible, to preach all of it, to preach Jesus, to preach the love of God, to preach the wrath that's coming, Lord, for those that reject Jesus. Lord, I pray for these men and I pray for these different congregations that, Lord, we would all rise up when the opportunity presents itself. And Lord, we would be counted. We would be counted for you. We would stand for something so that we won't just fall for anything. Lord, help us be that. Help us do that. We pray for our neighbors to the north, believers in Canada, Lord, a different situation, different scene up there. Lord, we pray that there might be a revival as such that, Lord, they'd be able to change and turn around some of the things that are going on there. Lord, we pray that mission dollars would continue to be poured into Canada and churches would continue to be started. And Lord, as you wait to see if the nations will be evangelized, Lord, may the church respond to that, and may Canada be one of those nations, one of those people groups that experiences a revival. We do pray for a revival in this land. Lord, we pray that we might experience one more great movement of God before you come and rapture the church out. We're believing in the rapture, Lord. We're looking forward to that. And Lord, we ask that you come quickly, that you come quickly for us. Lord, as we think about these different prayer requests, we lift up Miss Bicky to you tonight, not feeling well, Lord. We pray you touch her body, help her, Lord. Thank you for Bobby and his concern for his mother. We lift up Brother Marshall Murray to you tonight as he recovers from a second cataract surgery. Lord, we just pray for that wonderful gift of clarity and sight, that, Lord, he would have that once again. Lord, thank you for his wife, Miss Peggy, and her concern for him. We lift up Fred and Ann Redmond, Lord. So good to see them on Easter Sunday. We continue to pray for their health, and Lord, help them heal up and get well so that they can be more back in the swing of things and more a part of what's going on here. Lord, we know they're watching online, but Lord, we pray for their health. Pray you touch their bodies. We lift up Tiffany, Lord, and this enlarged spleen. We pray for your perfect will in that situation, that you would reduce that inflammation, that whatever's going on there, be with those doctors, give them wisdom, guidance, and discernment on how to treat her and that part of her body, Lord, and we just pray you bring healing to her. Lord, we thank you for Brother Micah, Dr. Micah Tomlinson, and Rescue Hope, and we thank you for this work going on in Uganda. Lord, he's just a man of his word, and he's a man of integrity, Lord, and we just love him, and we praise you for his ministry, him and his wife, and this organization. And Lord, we just pray you keep him safe in Uganda, that construction would go smooth, that, Lord, all the supplies and materials and everything would come together, that thing would be staffed, it would be stocked, and Lord, you would just use it for your glory and the salvation of the lost as they come there and get treatment and as they hear the gospel message. We're thankful for that work going on in Uganda. Lord, we lift up the Stamps family to you in the passing of Don. And Lord, we pray for their comfort. We pray for their healing. We pray that, Lord, you see them through this difficult time and help them go through the different stages of grief. We pray that they would be the hands and the feet of Christ. And Lord, they would speak the words of Jesus to one another as they seek to comfort one another during this loss. We pray that this his upcoming memorial funeral service, Lord, that it would be one where seeds of salvation are sown and words of encouragement from the Bible are given so that people can lean into the Holy Spirit and lean into the comfort and the peace that God offers, Lord. And we pray that they would share that peace and that comfort with one another. And Lord, out of this loss, you would bring some glory. You would bring some salvations. You would bring some great growth in somebody's life, Lord. We know that you take these situations and you turn them for good. And Lord, we're praying that right now. But Lord, the family needs comfort. The family needs grace. The family needs peace. The family needs help. And so, Lord, we pray that you touch the family at this time. Lord, we praise you that Miss Pat's ankle surgery has been so far a success and is healing quite well. We pray that you'd continue to keep any infection, any setbacks, Lord, anything going the wrong way, we pray you'd keep that away, and that, Lord, she'd just be able to ride that wheelchair till she's got to ride it, and then, Lord, we pray that that thing would be good to go for the rest of her day. She'd not have to mess with this ankle anymore. Thank you for that surgery. Thank you for the success thus far. We lift up Brother Bill to you. And we pray as he gets ready, Lord, not this Thursday, but the next Thursday, to have this blood clot and this growth removed from his throat, this blood clot off of his vocal cords. Lord, we just pray for that. Pray that the surgeon, the anesthesiologist, all those associated with those procedures, Lord, would just take extra special care of Brother Bill and just, Lord, see him through. We pray for his family, Lord, Miss Karen, as she cares for him. Pray for their safety as they travel back and forth. Just watch over Brother Bill, Lord, and give him another successful surgery in his life. And then, Lord, we lift up Miss Whitney to you tonight. Pray for this biopsy that she's going to be going for. We pray that that reveal shows nothing. Lord, we pray that that's just a clean biopsy for her. And then, Lord, for Miss Terry, we praise you that she's done with radiation, that her cancer was caught early. And, Lord, we pray in for a complete, clean bill of health as she gets ready to go back in a couple weeks. Lord, we just pray that she not have any more issues, no more situations. She's good to go. Lord, thank you for your healing hand. Thank you for medicine. Thank you for those that minister to our bodies. Lord, as we said Sunday, you love the body. You love matter. You love creation. And Lord, we're thankful that we can lift it up to you. And Lord, you are the great physician, the great healer. And we praise you for that tonight. Be with us, Lord, as we get into your word. And Lord, lead, guide, and direct us as we go through it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, well, let's take our Bibles. This may be the last hurrah. We may have a little bit left on the book of Exodus, but we're in Exodus chapter 40. Those of you watching online, Exodus chapter 40. We got anybody watching online? 12 right now. Check them out. Okay, that may be more than's in here. Let's see here. We got one in the back, two in the booth. That's three. I make four. That's six. That's eight. That's nine. That's 10, 12. Oh, we just beat them, right? We just beat them. Tell them they're going to have to stir the bushes if they want to beat the in-person crowd. But 12, that's a good number. Amen. Exodus chapter 40. I'll begin reading here in verse 34, and we'll take it through verse 38. Exodus 40, beginning in verse 34 through 38. We've looked at this. It's about the third time we looked at this passage, but we're trying to bring it all together. We're trying to close it all out, and we're heading for the book of Revelation once we do. So Exodus chapter 40, beginning in verse 34. If you found it tonight, would you say amen? All right, the word of God reads this. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. Now, this is our third, teachers. You know how it goes. It's kind of comprehensive. We kind of share a little information, then we kind of go back and review that information, share a little bit more information, then we kind of go back and review that information, then we share a little bit more. That's what we kind of been doing. So we're on our third swing at the bat here, swing at the ball, of trying to finish out the book of Exodus. We may make it. We may not. So we'll give it a good try. Last time, we saw that the cloud was not only a manifestation of God's presence, which was glorious in itself, but also we saw that it was a pledge that God would stand by His people to do what? To protect them from any and all circumstance. We basically asked the question, what was the cloud? And then we tried to answer the question. We said it was a manifestation of God's presence. And then we went on further and we said it was a method of God's protection. As we begin this evening, we're going to call it a means for God's guidance. When the cloud arose, when it rose up from over the tabernacle and it began to move, the people were supposed to do what? They were supposed to move too. And when the cloud stopped, the people were to stop. The book of Nehemiah, even Nehemiah refers to this. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19. Nehemiah 9, 19, the word of God reads, "You in your great compassion," he says, "did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day," he goes on to say, "to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go." Now, I'll refer to this passage a few times this evening. You're more than welcome to read it. But a more extended passage about the cloud and its movements is found in Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 through 23. It gives greater detail describing how the cloud would do what? How it would remain in one place sometimes for a few days and sometimes for much longer, right? Sometimes a few days, sometimes for much longer. Now, I ask you a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer out, but just think about it in your mind's eye, in your heart. Do you wish, here in 2021, do you wish that God would lead you, that He would lead you with such explicit and unmistakable directions as a cloud or a pillar of fire. That the cloud would set out and you would what? You would know where you were to go. And then the cloud would stop and you would know that you were stopping. Think about that. Think that through. I wonder if you would like that. Now, it may sound kind of cool at first, but I wonder if you would like that because, think this through with me, because I don't think, now I can't know, but so you don't have to write this down because it's just me thinking, but I don't think that all the Israelites liked it one bit. Now, I think some did, but I think there was some that didn't. They didn't care for that cloud one bit. Imagine a Hebrew family, a young Hebrew family. We're talking, ain't potty trained yet, Hebrew family. You getting it? Yeah. All right. Imagine a Hebrew family traveling along with all the other families, following the cloud in the heat in the Sinai Peninsula, right? The sand, the wind, right? The cloud is shading them, but it is still what? A little hot. Still hot. They have been walking for 5 or 6 hours, right? And they are uncomfortable and they are tired. The babies are crying, right? Finally, at the end of the afternoon, the cloud stops. And somebody notices off on the horizon. I think the cloud has stopped. We're talking millions of people here. I think the cloud has stopped. And the word starts traveling in each direction that the cloud has stopped. And they all stop. And they all kind of collectively look up and say, yeah, I think the cloud has stopped. And so this is the signal for them to do what? Well, they stop too. They don't go any further. The cloud stopped, they stop. Okay, so they stop. They think, thank goodness, it is the end of the afternoon. It's time to quit. Man, let's get the kids taken care of, and we'll get a little peace and quiet, right? So the family has a little donkey with them that they cart all of their stuff on, carry all their things on. They take their tent off the little donkey, and they begin to set the tent up, and they get out a few other household objects and arrange them out, you know, kind of make it their own. And they get out what they need to prepare their supper, and they do that. And having finished their supper, they're ready to stretch out under their tent and sleep until morning. I mean, it sounded good, isn't it? Sleep? Amen? Aren't you excited about going to sleep tonight? Yeah. Is it raining? Hallelujah. Bring on the rain. I thought that was the AC, but I guess the AC's already on. It's the rain. All right. Having finished their supper, they want to lay out by the tent, get in the tent, and they want to experience sleep until morning. Then somebody on the very edge of the camp calls out in a loud voice. What does he say? He says, I think the pillar of fire in the cloud is moving. They look up, and sure enough, the cloud, the pillar of fire, is moving. Well, man, they're ready to bed down. Well, you ain't bedding down now. What are you doing? You're getting your stuff together. You're getting everything back on Little Burrow, right? And you're what? Come on, babies. What were the babies doing? Sleeping, right? What were the babies doing? Comfortable? Well, not anymore. Now dad's carrying one and mom's carrying two, right? And here they go, right? They look up and sure enough, the cloud is moving again. They've just gotten settled, but they have to get going. So they fold all of their stuff, get it back on, and they start after the cloud. Are you with me so far? The cloud moves for about an hour, hour and a half from the little valley where they were, a beautiful valley. What was wrong with that valley? Who knows? But they go just a little bit further up, about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And guess what the cloud does? Stops, right? Well, they say it's not going to catch us this time. We were in a rush and a huff to get everything packed back up, get back on the burrow and get with the rest of the group. We're not going to do that. We're going to leave everything packed. So they just sit on the sand. They just sit on the sand. Nothing happens. It gets dark, right? So finally, they lie down and they fall asleep. They wake up in the morning. They look up. The cloud's still there. They said, man, we're not going to get caught. They just make do, getting through the day the best they can. No tent, No utensils. Nighttime comes around again. The cloud is still there. They lie down again. In the morning, they get up. Guess what? The cloud is still there. Nobody said the cloud is moving. About a week goes by. A week goes by. And finally, the mother, who's more sensible, the mom, who's more sensible in these matters, says to the father, these kids, they need, we got to get the tent. And he finally agrees. And so they unpack the tent. They set up the camp. I guess you're right. We ought to do it. So they do it. They set it back up. So they take the tent and they put it all up. They get it all set up. They get the household items arranged inside the tent. And no sooner do they get everything unpacked than somebody calls out again. Guess what they say? That cloud's a moving. That cloud is a moving. And they have to do it all over again. Something of this is conveyed in Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 through 23. You're more than welcome to read that passage. Sometimes the cloud, based off that Numbers passage, stayed only from the evening to the morning. Sometimes it stayed there for 3 days. Sometimes it stayed for a week. And sometimes a month. And sometimes even a year. God, in His sovereignty, did not tell the people in advance what He was doing. Now, I think some of them must have really struggled with God's leading. I think some of them must have really struggled with it. Some of you, watching me online, sitting here this evening, some of you probably would have struggled with the cloud as well, right? Especially if you had a young family. We tend to like the regularity of the routine, don't we? Yeah. I eat the same thing every morning, have for years. I make the coffee the night before. I don't make it. I get the coffee pot loaded. I come down and hit the go button, put the oatmeal on the stove, go do other stuff, get ready. I mean, it's the same. We like the regular, don't we? We like the regularity. Change is one of the hardest things we face. Would you agree? Change. If we do have to change, then this is how we want to change. We want to be told about the change way in advance. We want all the options to be laid out. We want to give our input. And when we get all the details settled, then we will decide how we're going to go. Right? I mean, if we're going to change, this is America. Man, if I don't want to go to Walmart, I don't go to Walmart. I go to H-E-B. If I don't want to go to H-E-B, I go to Kroger. If I don't go to any of them, I go to Aldi, right? I mean, I get some choice here. I'm an American, right? Home of the free or the brave. And free choice, right? That's how we think. That's how we're conditioned to think in the culture that we live in. Unfortunately for us, God doesn't lead that way. God does not lead that way. Did you not know that? He does not lead us that way. God does not often take us. When He called me to the ministry, He didn't say, come here, brother, let me kind of bring you in here and kind of let me lay out the next 25 years of your life and let's just see how you're going to like that. He didn't do that. God doesn't lead that. He doesn't lead you that way. That's not how God leads His people of faith. He doesn't take us into His confidence while planning out our lives, folks. He simply does what He does in His sovereignty, and you and I have to go along with His leading if we are going to be led. Making sense? Yeah. If we're saved and growing, then we have to follow. If we're saved and we're growing in our faith. Now, if we're acting like a crazy person out in left field, right, got nothing to do with nothing that God's got going on, then that's a different story. But if we're saved and growing, then we have to follow. That is just part of the Christian life. Think this through with me. If one of those stiff-necked people that didn't like that cloud much, if one of those stiff-necked people had said, I don't care if the cloud is moving, I have put up and put my stuff down and picked it up and packed it back up and unpacked it and packed it again. I cannot stand the cloud anymore. I'm just going to get by on my own. I'm going to do it on my own. Then in minutes, 2 hours, depending on where they are in that camp, from minutes to hours, he and his family would have been stuck in the desert under the blazing sun or the freezing desert night. Right? He would have died from exposure, him and his family, from either the heat of the sun in the daytime or from the cold, cold temperatures of the temperature swings at night. The point is not that God is arbitrary, but that God is purposeful. When we think about what have we learned from Exodus 39 through 40, that's one of the major points. The point is not that God is arbitrary, but that God is purposeful. He was taking a nation of slaves. He was taking a disorderly people group to become a nation, as well as building them into the kind of fighting force that would one day be able to conquer the land of promise that he had promised to give them. So, if God is guiding us, if he truly is guiding us, which he has promised to do for those trusting in the salvation that he has provided, then there is a goal, and there is a destination, and there is a purpose for us too. Don't ever forget that. The goal, it's real simple out of the Word of God, is to be conformed to the image of his Son. As Paul states in Romans 8:29, and God has determined, he has determined it in his sovereignty, that his children will reach that goal. The Lord will use everything in your life. He will see to it that all the circumstances of our lives, including the hard experiences, including the disappointments, including the sicknesses, including the financial difficulties, including all of the stuff that we face, these things will work to change us into the image of Jesus. But unlike many of the Israelites who, through unbelief and disobedience, did not reach the land of promise, all the redeemed in Christ, all the redeemed, in his perfect timing, will enter the presence of the Lord. As one theologian says, to speak of a journey is to look for an arrival. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, we may think at this point that Israel had an advantage that we do not have. I mean, Pastor, they had a visible cloud, man. And at night, it was a pillar of fire in a cloud. I mean, it was pretty miraculous. It was pretty spectacular, preacher. I mean, don't you think, Pastor, that they had an advantage over us? Israelites just had to follow it. Well, we may wish that we had something that visible to guide us, but are we really to suppose that today in the age of the church age, are we really to suppose that we are in an inferior position, that we are in a lesser position to them, to those who were God's people under the old covenant? Friend, we're not under the old covenant, praise God. We're under the new covenant. We're in the church age. Amen. We're looking forward to the second advent. As far as church history is concerned, I don't think it gets any better than this. Any better than this. The new covenant is better in every respect. In all other respects. What we have today is better. Why is it so better? Well, it's so better because of the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, the third person of the Trinity. That's what makes it so great and grand. Amen? The Holy Spirit is not merely dwelling over us. If you read your Bible, study it, and understand it, the Holy Spirit is rather dwelling within us. And he protects, and he guides, and he enables us to understand the Bible and obey it. Folks in the Old Testament, they had Moses. The folks after Moses would have the books of Moses, the Torah, the Pentateuch, that have the first five books of the Old Testament. But we, on this side of the cross, we have all God's revelation that man's supposed to have. I think it's a pretty good deal. Amen? See, the Holy Spirit is not merely dwelling over us, but church, what's He doing? He's dwelling within us. Jesus spoke about this leading and spoke about this third person and spoke about this paraclete and spoke about this Holy Spirit and spoke about the third person of the Godhead. He spoke about it when He talked to His disciples in the upper room. In John 16, 13, He says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth." Galatians 5, 16 goes on to say, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Galatia, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." So, if the Holy Spirit does for us today what the cloud did for Israel in the Old Testament, then the New Testament equivalent of the event at the very end of Exodus, when the cloud comes down over the tabernacle, the New Testament equivalent of that is what? It's Pentecost, isn't it? Yeah, that's Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came on the disciples in visible manifestations and empowered them for witness and for service. Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Beautiful passage. I invite you to read that sometime. If you're not familiar with it, you need to be familiar with it. Hopefully you're familiar with it. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, God has already set His mark on you by giving you the Holy Spirit. You've already been sealed for the day of redemption. Amen? You would not be a Christian, somebody that claims to be saved, but not led of the Holy Spirit, somebody who claims to be saved but said, no, the Holy Spirit's not in them, is somebody who is not saved. If you're saved, you have been marked. The Holy Spirit is in you, right? Because God, by the presence and power of His Holy Spirit, regenerates you, making you alive in Christ. That's what brings your spirit alive in Christ. Then the very fact that you are a Christian is evidence that God has set His protecting hand on you. His protecting hand on you as He did on the people of Israel and their work when He came down in the form of a cloud over their tabernacle. If that great gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to us, then we should aim at God's pleasure. We should aim for God's blessing in our lives through our service even more than did those who were under the old covenant. We're in the new covenant. People struggle with this. I don't know why people struggle with this. It's the new covenant. It's not the old. We have been given, where much is given, much is what? Much is required. We have been given so much more. People online, we've been given so, I can't tell, man, I wish it would focus in. We've been given so much more than what they were given back here. So much more. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. Nothing will ever happen that is not ultimately for our good. Romans 8:28. The way through the desert was not always an easy way. Would you agree? Not always an easy way. But never did the cloud and pillar of fire, evidence of God's continuing presence, never did the cloud fail to give guidance and protection. I'm going to close it out with this. We actually get to finish the book tonight. 2 minutes. Oh, 1 minute. I don't have my phone. No telling what the phone says. But time is waning. His name is William Williams. You may have sung this hymn a time or two. In his well-loved hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah. It expresses the reality of the Israelites' experience of God's care in the desert and uses the imagery of the desert journey to help Christians pray for that same guidance and protection on our own earthly pilgrimage. But the truth you've got to get tonight is you've got a better deal because He's not over you. He is in you. Right? And if you will connect your heart with Him along with His Word, you're going to be led. God's going to lead you. Right? You're going to be led. This is how it goes. "Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be Thou still my strength and shield. Be Thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side." Songs of praises. And then it says, it closes, "I will ever give to Thee. I will ever give to Thee. Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah." Well, friends, do we believe that He is guiding us? Man, if you had any doubt, the doubt should be over, right? Now, does He consult you? No. But remember, whatever's best for God is going to be best for who? It's going to be best for you, right? And I'm telling you, as time goes by, as ministry life goes by, as married life goes by, as child rearing goes by, as all that goes by, just time flies, savor it. As it all savors and goes by, as you look back in the rearview mirror, man, what a sovereign good God, right? Hadn't been easy. Wasn't fun sometimes. Been hard. Been wanting to sing "Gloom, Despair" a time or two. "In Agony on Me," "Deep Dark Depression," right? I'd come out of that a time or two. But in the grand scheme of things, when you look at it all cumulative, oh man, it's been good. God's been a leading good, man. He's a good leading God. Amen? Don't forget it. Did we keep them, Jeremiah? Or did they bail out on me? How many you got? Whoo, they stayed. Amen? All right. Good to see you folks online tonight. Good to have you folks in here this evening. Y'all be in prayer. Got to get back into Revelation. It's going to be a hard one to get back into, right? Because we've been out of it so long. I was really on a really clicking along with it, and then COVID hit, right? But we got to finish that book, right? Got to finish it. Amen? Don't you want to finish Revelation? Yeah, I want to finish it. All right. Let's close with a word of prayer, all right? Dear Jesus, thank You again for this time, Lord. We thank You for the study of Your Word. And Lord, thank You that we could try to get some truth out tonight and try to make sense of some things here at the end of the book. It's a blessing to get to go through Exodus, and Lord, we want to go through verse by verse. And we did the majority of it, Lord, but Father God, after we finish Revelation, if we get the opportunity here, God, we're going to continue to go through these first five books of the Old Testament until we get them all pretty well done. So Lord, we pray for strength, we pray for great focus, we pray for great Holy Spirit insight, and Lord, just help me and help the people receive the truth, but help me dig the truth out and deliver it to the people in a way that they can receive it and understand it and love it. Lord, I pray that they love the truth. Love the truth and seek to live the truth and just do the truth. Thank You, God. Give us safety tonight. We are thankful for the rain, Jesus. May more rain fall on the beautiful state of Texas. May You green it up real good. Lord, we're praying for more rain. Just send it our way. Thank You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. Don't want no more drought. No more drought. No. It's abnormally dry. I don't like abnormally dry. Do you? No, send more rain.